VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Today's program is not one necessarily to encourage you, but to burden you. Certainly, as we are seeing the issues around us that are growing so much in intensity and also in frequency, it is amazing. We've never seen some of these times like we're seeing before, and just the volumes of material that are hitting us as Crosstalk and talk show hosts across the nation on issues. It is amazing to see all that is transpiring and how fast things are going. Certainly, we keep our eyes heavenward, but we also look around us as well. We keep our eyes on the Lord, but also our burden for the world that is around us. And as I was putting together a number of stories for today, I'm just calling today's program Woe Unto Them, and it's based upon Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, that says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Indeed, we're living in times in which evil is promoted. Evil is that which is called good, and that which is good, no, you're evil. Darkness is light today. Light is darkness. The definitions and dictionaries are changing today. And friends, we need to realize and understand these times, as I'm going to be sharing with you today here on the program, Woe Unto Them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The stories are tragic. But friends, we can't poke our head in the sand. We have to be aware of what's going on. We need to become burdened. And if these things don't drive us to prayer, you better check your pulse. A number of different issues here today on Crosstalk with this theme, from Western Journal, two McAllen, Texas police officers killed Saturday in what police are calling an ambush after the officers responded to a call of a domestic disturbance. You see, police officers are now viewed, those who are to keep the law, those who are to that are to be ministers of God, to punish evildoers, and to provide safety, are now in today's society deemed to be wrong and evil. Police Chief Victor Rodriguez said the officers responded to a report of a domestic disturbance in the South Texas community. Before entering the residence where the disturbance had been reported, Garza and Chavez met two people who had reported assaults. When they tried to enter the home, they were gunned down. The officers never had a chance to suspect deadly assault of them, much less death. According to the monitor, they were doing their job, Rodriguez said. That's what they were supposed to do. The person was a suspect of the incident, met our officers at the door, and shot at both officers. Both officers suffered fatal wounds. They both passed away as a result. The daughters of one of the officers killed in that ambush in McAllen, Texas, according to the New York Post, she got slammed on Twitter. What did she do? She posted the hashtag Blue Lives Matter in a moving tribute to her late dad. He had just been killed. Savannah Chavez, the daughter of the slain officer, Ishmael Chavez, tweeted in a since-deleted post the same day that her father was gunned down, responding to this domestic disturbance, saying, "Words cannot describe the pain I'm in, but I'm glad my dad is at peace. You are an amazing man, and anyone who ever came across you knew that," the daughter added. "I'm going to miss you so much. You died doing what you loved most. You died a hero. I love you, Daddy. See you soon. Hashtag Blue Lives Matter." Well, the posting was not up very long. Started getting some heartfelt sympathy and tributes, but then the hatred came as well. "Being a cop is a choice. Last time I checked, blue people don't exist. Maybe educate yourself," one person tweeted. Another wrote, "Blue Lives Matter was literally created in response to undermine Black Lives Matter." A third person who identified herself as a high school student added, "I'm so sorry for your loss, but you didn't have to use a racist hashtag. A racist hashtag Blue Lives Matter. A Wisconsin man allegedly used a pickup truck to purposefully ram and kill a motorcyclist because he was white, deputies said in a Thursday news conference, reports WesternJournal.com. Daniel Navarro, suspected of using his father's pickup truck to swerve into oncoming traffic and kill a motorcyclist. It was a 55-year-old, a Marine veteran, and retired law enforcement officer. Navarro told officers that he intentionally struck Thiessen head-on because he was white, according to Fox News. Let's go on to another area. This is from the newamerican.com. An anti-fascist group gaining newfound attention is among the chief groups provoking conflict and violence in Portland, according to reports. The Pacific Northwest Youth Liberation Front claims to be an anonymous collection of anti-capitalist, anti-fascist teens whose agitations have resulted in assaults on public property and severely injured persons. In a lengthy piece on the group, Seattle Times said the PNW Liberation Front seeks to upend the U.S. political system. WND.com, the Philadelphia arm of the Black Lives Matter movement, is calling for the complete abolition of the police department in 5 years, along with the elimination of military bases abroad. One of the things that we are demanding over 5 years is the complete abolition. We don't want to see any police in our community. They said, over the course of those 5 years, it gives time for a community to begin to build what is needed. We aren't looking to leave any kind of vacancy around the issue of safety. She argued crime is driven by poverty and hunger, which in turn fuels drug use and associated crimes. Claiming for dealing with issues from the ground up, diverting money allocated for police to entities such as mental health response teams. Don't you want to do that when you're getting assaulted? When somebody is breaking into your home, dear, what's the number for that assault team we're supposed to call? There are people who have been murdered as a result of mental health checks, she said. The police came and they murdered the person, even though the person was acting erratically, which is what you could expect of a person who's having a mental health crisis. Domestic confrontations are also things that police are often called for, and these are kinds of situations that can be handled by different kinds of professionals. As it relates to more violent crime, there could still be trained individuals who are prepared to handle those kinds of situations. Folks, that's what police officers do. She claimed police have done little to make communities safer, contending that historically they are centered around the ruling class and protection of the ruling class and being an extension of the system of oppression. AOC suggested the current surge in crime in New York City is a result of financially struggling residents' efforts to feed their children. She took questions from constituents at a live Facebook town hall, reports Western Journal, offered her take on the lawlessness, which is taking place amid anti-police rhetoric in the city, and the conversation about defunding law enforcement agencies, which she supports. Why is this uptick in crime happening, she asked. Well, let's think about it. Do we think that has to do with the fact that there's record unemployment in the United States right now? The fact that people are at a level of economic desperation that we have not seen since the Great Depression? Maybe this has to do with the fact that people aren't paying their rent and are scared to pay their rent, and so they go out and need to feed their children, and they don't have money. So maybe if you have to, you're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry at night. The Congresswoman's comments on Facebook were made prior to another weekend of violence in that city. New York Post reported 15 people shot in New York from Saturday afternoon to early morning hours of Sunday. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Police in Indianapolis, reports WND.com, investigating the murder of a young mother who was allegedly killed for telling Black Lives Matter activists that all lives matter. 24-year-old Jessica Doty Whitaker shot in the head, killed after a 4th of July weekend celebration. CNSNews.com, this should come as no surprise, folks. Moves to defund and discredit police departments have produced an alarming spike in crime in large Democrat-run cities, including in New York City, where a one-year-old boy was shot and killed at a family picnic in a Brooklyn park Sunday night. The New York Post headline blurred the word enough. President Trump declared New York City out of control on Monday. Peter King, congressman, warned on Monday night, we've got to turn this around or the country's going to be lost. From townhall.com, further details of that story. Late Sunday night, two gunmen fired openly on a family barbecuing in Brooklyn. One-year-old Devell Gardner Jr. shot in the stomach while in his stroller, later died at a nearby hospital. Others were shot as well and did recover. But here is this one-year-old child killed. And we also have from Daily Wire Thursday, three more members of the Seattle City Council joined four others who want to defund the city's police department by 50%, forming a majority on the council and supporting a plan propounded by the Decriminalize Seattle and King County Equity Now. That means seven of the nine council members favor the huge cuts to the police. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what's happening in law enforcement front in brief. Folks, we could go hours just telling about the assault on police officers that have taken place all over the country. As officers, so many of them have kept their cool as protesters have been up in their face, issuing profanities at them with a camera also on their face, just waiting for some little flinch, some little move for them to take. We also have another aspect that's going on, and that is a issue of conversion therapy, so-called. This is from Christian Post, a professional psychotherapist who specializes in counseling those with unwanted same-sex attraction has denounced a recent social media ban on posts promoting conversion therapy. Recently, Instagram and its owner Facebook announced that they were going to ban content that promoted the controversial practice of sexual orientation change efforts therapy, or what critics call conversion therapy. Christopher Doyle, a professional counselor, said while the company claims that they're taking this action to prevent discrimination toward the LGBT community, the real people they are hurting are those who experience unwanted sexual and gender identity conflicts and are seeking options for healing and ethical licensed therapy, said Doyle. Everyone should have the right to seek help for unwanted attractions or sexual gender conflicts without interference, and public companies should not be able to discriminate the views of some they may disagree with for political purposes. The prominent social media sites told CNN Business that they're taking steps to prohibit content that promoted conversion therapy. We don't allow attacks against people based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Isn't that something? If you seek to counsel somebody on the harm of homosexuality to the body or the fact that recognize science, if you're a biological male, you can't be a woman, that is considered by them as an attack. They find we're always reviewing our policies. We continue to consult with experts and people with personal experiences to inform our approach. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did Noah's Ark have to contain two of every species we find on planet Earth today?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, this is a straw man argument used by those who really don't believe in Noah's Ark at all. The Bible says that God created each basic type of animal after its kind, and that Noah was to bring two of each kind of animal on board the Ark. Kind would be represented by the basic categories of animals today, such as the dog kind. Within the dog kind, there are several species. That's the wolves and the foxes and the coyotes and the dingoes. They are called species, but they're all interfertile. They're all part of the dog kind. There was plenty of room on board the ark for two of each of these various kinds of land-dwelling, air-breathing animals. The Bible story holds water, as it were. We read about it when we go back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
What we're seeing, certainly, our program today, woe unto them, based upon Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. As we are seeing a society today that is indeed calling good evil and evil good. We have other situations taking place. A new Netflix series for children featuring a transgender character, what some say amounts to propaganda that deliberately confuses kids, reports the Christian Post. The Babysitter's Club, based upon that popular collection of Scholastic books, rated G. Story centering around a group of adolescent girls who start a babysitting business. In the fourth episode of the series, one of the five babysitters, Mariana, is asked to care for a child named Bailey who presented as a girl but was biologically male. Moments after Marianne realizes Bailey is a boy, the episode pivots, showing Marianne speaking with a friend, Dawn, whose father is homosexual, and compares being transgender to being right or left-handed. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Let's look at another area. It's the area of life. Here we have from LifeSite News, the law cannot require women to consult with a physician in person to obtain abortion pills under the COVID-19 lockdowns. U.S. District Judge Theodore Chung ruled on Monday. The left-wing American Civil Liberties Union represented several groups, including the pro-abortion American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, in a lawsuit demanding the suspension of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's regulations that the first half of the chemical abortion cocktail, RU486, must be administered in person, citing the coronavirus public health emergency's discouragement of non-essential outside travel. The judge agreed that the requirement posed a substantial obstacle during a pandemic and ruled that particularly in light of the limited time frame during which the medication abortion or any abortion must occur, that such infringement on the right to an abortion must constitute irreparable harm, the Washington Post reported. Essential travel? We've got abortion clinics that have been opened under essential businesses across this land, killing the lives of the innocent, deemed to be essential. LifeSiteNews.com from Tennessee. Tennessee's Governor Bill Lee signed this omnibus pro-life bill into law yesterday, bans abortion once a fetal heartbeat's detected. A number of other abortion restrictions put into the legislation as well. Can't kill a child based on its race or sex, or prenatal diagnosis of a disability. But the ACLU once again is at it. ACLU's Tennessee chapter, the Center for Reproductive Rights, and Planned Parenthood Federation of America filed emergency lawsuits after the law. Once it was signed, the U.S. District Judge William Campbell created a temporary restraining order against it taking effect. So the pro-life law signed into being, passed through the legislative process within 45 minutes, we understand. It was immediately blocked by a court. Not only in Tennessee, Indiana as well, a judge struck down Indiana law requiring reporting of medical complications of abortion. It was a state law mandating if there are medical complications associated with abortions, it needs to be reported. And the judge says, no, that's unconstitutional. It required all doctors in the state annually report any treatment of 26 different conditions known to be potential abortion complications. But the Indiana Southern District Court Judge Richard Young said in his ruling last Wednesday that the law is unconstitutionally vague. That is after Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky challenged the law. LifeNews.com also telling us that billionaire Warren Buffett has been quietly funding the abortion industry for decades. He's often praised for his philanthropy. His massive contributions to life-destroying pro-abortion groups have largely gone unnoticed. The Capital Research Center, working to expose the deadly destruction backed by his wealth, estimates that Buffett donated enough money to abort about 8 million unborn babies in the past 20 years. The fourth richest man in the world, according to Forbes. He's the owner of Berkshire Hathaway. That includes Benjamin Moore, Fruit of the Loom, Geico, Pampered Chef, and See's Candies. He's worth about $67.5 billion, reports LifeNews.com. But between 2000 and 2018, his Susan Thompson Buffett Foundation, named after his late wife, donated some $4 billion to pro-abortion groups, according to their tax filings. That amounts to 73% of their total donations to the foundation over the past two decades. And according to the Capital Research Center, $4 billion is enough to pay for 8 million abortions, according to data from the Guttmacher Institute, a pro-abortion think tank, at an average cost of roughly $500 per aborted baby. That's the entire population of the state of Arizona, the equivalent of the people in nine states: Wyoming, New Hampshire, Maine, Montana, Delaware, North Dakota, South Dakota, Alaska, and Vermont. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Let's look at schools. WND.com reporting public schools nationwide are adopting Black Lives Matter curricula, presenting themes such as systemic racism, police brutality, and white privilege, while turning children into little Marxists, according to the Federalist. The New York City Department of Education is one of the many schools set to roll out the BLM-themed lesson plans this fall, wrote Sloan Rockmuth and Katie Jensen. This summer, North Carolina's largest school system in Wake County launched a website providing Black Lives Matter lessons for teachers to use in classrooms and for parents to use at home. It urges teachers to address the injustices that exist beyond education by the conversations we have with others, by speaking up when we see hate, by supporting efforts that oppose racism and oppression, and by directly engaging in advocacy work. Let's go to Los Angeles. WND.com reporting the Los Angeles Teachers Union demanding that schools not open in the fall unless charter schools are closed and the police are defunded. The demands were made in a policy paper approved by 83% of the teachers. Now keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, these are the very teachers that are entrusted to educate the children. Can you imagine what values or lack thereof are being modeled and taught in the classroom? But they demand that schools not even open unless we first close all the charter schools and that police are defunded. Matter of fact, FoxNews.com says police violence is a leading cause of death and trauma for black people and is a serious public health and moral issue, a paper said, released by the teachers' union. Citing the American Public Health Association, we must shift the astronomical amount of money devoted to policing to education and other essential needs such as housing and public health. We were talking about the New York School District. Let me just say this. According to College Fix, you know, and by the way, the mantra we hear around the country, we need more money for education, more money for education, more money for education. And College Fix says, if you ever wondered what an out-of-control educational bureaucracy looks like, New York City is a shining example. School Chancellor Richard Garanza recently warned of painful cuts to the city's education budget due to COVID-19. But as the New York Post reports, that budget is still packed with central office fat. An almost $200,000 chunk of that fat goes to a gent named Barnaby Springs, who holds the title of District Director of Mindfulness. According to the Post, Spring wants to expand yoga and meditation for students, staffers, and execs because he claims that they're as important as academics. A former teacher and principal, Spring told the site Mindful.org that Carranza is familiar with the practice of meditation and mindfulness and that the Department of Education understands the cost-effectiveness of this almost as preventative health care initiative. One of the first steps Spring took as mindfulness director was to forge a partnership with the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, which Forbes in November named the best meditation retreats in the world. Spring helped arrange for top Department of Education administrators, including principals, managers, superintendents, and deputies, to undergo leadership resiliency training at this retreat, at Berkshire's retreat. The center offers classes as well as massages and facials, overnight accommodations, a cafe featuring salads, and something called a Buddha bar. At the beginning, we believed this was an opportunity for our superintendents and our executive superintendents to learn a little bit more about yoga and mindfulness for themselves. The district sent 30 administrators in 2019 at a cost of $1,900 each from a $111,000 yoga and mindfulness training grant. Last school year, the district spent over $100,000 at the center and $18,000 so far this year. Oh, friends, we need more money for education, don't we? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Introducing into Eastern religions through these mechanisms. Wanted to cover one other issue, and that is going on even with churches and the church. First of all, this is something as a report from Pamela Geller says, if you watch national news, this is something you wouldn't know about. Gateway Pundit reports a fire destroyed Faith Tabernacle Pentecostal Church in Elkmont, Alabama, Friday night. Saturday, a man drove into a church in Ocala, Florida before lighting it afire. And then a fire destroyed a 249-year-old San Gabriel Mission Church in California. Three churches burning across the country in just over 24 hours. From WND.com or Western Journal, make it. Apparently, a church has been part of the downtown scene in Salinas, California, for over a quarter of a century, just is not vibrant enough for what the city wants. A Bay Area federal court has ruled that the city of Salinas can push out the New Harvest Christian Fellowship, an evangelical assembly that's been there for 25 years, because, in fact, it wants a pedestrian-friendly, active, and vibrant Main Street. City coding doesn't allow for it. Does not allow for it. And as we had reported earlier with Matt Staver, I mean, what we see going on in the city of Chicago, where we have churches that were threatened to be bulldozed, their facilities, for not complying with COVID-19, that they were a public nuisance and would give the authority to the city to be utilized for that purpose. Now, we see all kinds of things going on, even with New York City. Bill de Blasio, the mayor there, announced Black Lives Matter protesters given special privileges through large public events in the city were forced to cancel. He made the admission during an interview on CNN. He told Wolf Blitzer that he will ban all large gatherings through at least September, but will not stand in the way of mass protests because he sees them as being historic. He said, we understand that this moment in history, people are talking about the need for historic changes. This is a historic moment for change. We have to respect that, but we also need to say to people, these kinds of gatherings we're used to, the parades, the fairs, we just can't have that while we're focusing on health right now, de Blasio said. The acknowledgement of this cancellation of large public events in the city comes just 2 weeks after a federal judge ruled that de Blasio and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo have exceeded their authorities amid the coronavirus outbreak, restricting religious gatherings. So first it was canceled the church, then he got his hands slapped for that, canceling other events, but we have to allow the protest to go on. This is history in the making. I've got just another story after the break, and then we'll be opening our phone lines as we comment on the story today. Woe unto them. We'll be right back.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and our theme verse for today from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." Characteristic of the times in which we live today. And as we have just shared in brief, how many churches have we seen closed across this nation? Close the churches, and some have taken this a step further, not just close churches, burn them down. Others have said churches are declared to be a public nuisance. Another location we saw, we can't have the church located here because it's not vibrant enough. We want the, you know, vibrancy here at this location. But you know, as the church is put down, keep your eyes open for another use for churches. Breaking Israel News had the story today, and I want you to hear how churches are to be used. According to recent polls, only half of America would agree to get the COVID-19 vaccine should it be available. To combat the phenomenon, a panel of scientific and academic experts published a list of recommendations for how to increase confidence in vaccines. Some of the recommendations include hiring community spokespeople and making it free to Americans. But one of the most unusual recommendations offered was setting up vaccine stations at churches and synagogues. And although the document didn't specify churches and synagogues, it did recommend using places of worship as vaccination sites. Using places of worship as vaccination sites. The journal's co-chairs include Emily K. Brunson, MPH, PhD, Associate Professor of Anthropology, Texas State University, and Monica Schock, Spina, PhD, Senior Scholar, Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, who served in national advisory roles for the U.S. government. Another recommendation involved appointing influential messengers, including grassroots organizations, local health departments, and trusted community spokespersons, to engage early and often with communities regarding COVID-19 vaccination and to neutralize misinformation. Folks, clergy across this nation are going to be falling into that category of trusted community spokespersons. And what could be, that's my opinion, and what could be interpreted as frustration among the health experts, the document also said that baseline vaccine hesitancy and uneven access to care, coupled with current opposition to mask wearing and physical distancing, despite active COVID-19 disease, suggests that public health authorities need to rethink how best to manage the pandemic and to spur recovery. But one of the areas that they are seeking to do and recommendation is to set up vaccine stations in places of worship as vaccination sites. Wasn't Planned Parenthood that had to somehow get their reproductive freedom back in the early days under Margaret Sanger, had to win over the clergy first, to win over the clergy to their aspect of birth control, who then started propagating this through their churches? Let me again quote from Isaiah 5:20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I'd like to hear your reaction to these things today. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. As we talk about these matters today, again, we comment on the intensity of these matters, the intensity of them, and also the frequency of these matters that are happening quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. It's we certainly know, even as it says in Scripture, we know not what a day brings forth. And certainly that is true with so much that is taking place across the nation. Woe unto them. Let's go to the phone lines today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. St. Mary's, West Virginia. Russell, you're on the air.
Yeah, I truly believe that we're seeing the United States of America circling the drain right now before our very eyes. Mm.
That's very troubling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Russell, for your comment. Manny in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hey, I was just listening to all these stories, and it's literally heartbreaking. Like, there's no other words for it. good being called bad and bad being called good. You know, it's like criminals today are the heroes, and the heroes, which are the police officers, are the criminals. It's just, you know, there's a pastor, really quick, there's a pastor, Dana, that had a prophetic dream that he said, watch out for the September event.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that aspect, and I know there's a lot of controversy regarding it, but I think we can certainly be understanding of the times in which we live here, Manny, and recognize certainly that God has a purpose for us to be here, that we need to be salt and need to be light, and we need to be vibrant witnesses for Him.
Amen. I agree.
Thank you for the call. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, woe unto them. And who are the them? The them are to blame. They are the changemongers at all costs. They want to change. They want to ruin things. They want to burn churches to get what they want. They'll never be satisfied with it.
Okay. Thank you, Don. Dan in Colorado, you're on the air. Hello, Dan. Okay, lost Dan. Let's go to Eddie then in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Jim, thank you for taking my call. I'm driving down the road, but I appreciate the topic today. The guy, he warns a lot of people. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 6. It says, woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that they may add sin to sin. And that's the problem. It's sin. People don't want to live for God. They want to live sinfully. But I'm glad God is not only in complete authority, gracious, merciful, kind, long-suffering, patient, all of that. And I'm glad he had patience on a drunk named Eddie Wade, 32 years ago, saved him April 27, 1988. And I want to say one more thing, and I'll get off here. This COVID-19 going on, why don't they utilize infrared to determine who's running the fever from who's not and try to isolate some of this, I guess they call it a pandemic?
Yeah, and Eddie, I don't want to look at that aspect. I want to stay on track here for our topic today. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Mick in West Dallas, you're on the air.
I just want to quote one verse, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and it's a great verse, Mick. And you know, that we need to heed. I mean, I think of the prophet Jeremiah, who called for the people to turn, called for the people to repent. And that's what we need here in our nation as well. And you know what? The message goes out to the church, doesn't it? That we need to turn, we need to repent, need to do as Scripture commands. So often we have gotten away from our pulpits today from Thus Saith the Lord. And instead, we hear, yea, hath God said, we question Scripture. We question the authority of Scripture. No, that really doesn't mean that. No, God really didn't intend for marriage to be between a man and a woman. No, God did not really create them, man, you know, male and female. That really doesn't mean that. I mean, we hear all these kinds of twisting and turning of the Scripture today. We must get back to Thus Saith the Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It is there. It is our authority for life. Let's go to Sue in Kennewick, Washington. You're on the air, Sue.
Yes. Well, you were talking about the churches that were going to be used for vaccinations. I've got a concern, too, in that my church locally here is also being set up to take in foster kids. And supposedly when there's conflicts with the families that they're they're in, they were going to take them in and house them within the church. But I wanted to point out that foster kids, any child that is taken from a home is considered a foster kid at that time.
Well, Sue, I know there's great opportunity for ministry within the foster care system and opportunity for people to turn people to Jesus Christ. If that is taking place without a compromising of values or spiritual principles, that may be an opportunity to invest in a life for Jesus Christ.
I'm hoping so, but it's under the government auspices, so... I'm very cautious on it.
Thank you, Sue. Andy in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you, Jim, for getting my call. I'm really excited because what's going on. I know a lot of people are concerned and freaked out, but you know what? There's a spiritual cleansing going on, and we don't realize it, but that's what's going on, you know. And it's a lot of us, a lot of people, you know, we haven't really taken Christianity serious, and we've been hiding behind the cross. And these are hard words, but they're true. And now there's a time of definition on really what you're going to, what we're going to stand for Christ, and how far we're going to get persecuted, you know. So I'm really excited because, you know, it's times of definitions, you know, and
yes,
it's time to stop hiding behind the cross and just stand for what you believe in.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for
bye-bye.
Your call. Bye. Appreciate that. I think about Elijah Mount Carmel, and as he declared, how long halt he between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. And you know, if Baal be God, then follow him. But the people answered not a word. Sitting on the fence, folks, we cannot do that. We cannot sit on the fence today. Dan is calling from Colorado. Dan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to, you know, ask. I've only been listening for a few minutes, but the church is being used for sites for vaccination. Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
Dan, I've come in a number of stories. Share your reaction to the stories today.
Well, I don't know. I kind of feel like the overall impression was it wasn't a good idea for, you know, vaccines to be offered in churches.
Yeah,
but I feel like it's like a pretty good idea, don't you think?
Well, I see the issue here, Dan, where the churches that are going to be utilized for government purposes saying we have to convince if we can get the clergy to come alongside and we get the churches to come alongside to do this, we can win the trust. We got to find people of influence for this when much of the nation is I think close to half the nation saying we don't want this to take place. And certainly we do not see that as being the role of the church, do we, Dan?
I mean, I think it's the rule of the church to protect people, right? And, you know, obviously a lot of people are dying.
Yeah, we're talking about the spiritual needs of individuals in that regard and great controversy. As we know, Dan, that there are many of these vaccines that are being developed right now that are using from the cell lines of aborted babies. Is that not a conflict?
I mean, I don't know. I respectfully disagree with you.
Oh, okay.
But I'm glad I called, and I'm glad I got to talk to you.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you doing so. I've got an issue. I've got an issue with using aborted cell lines in the vast majority of these vaccines that are under development right now. And there are sites, Brad Mattis was with us recently from lifeissues.org that broke these down as to which vaccinations as to the companies that are involved in utilizing the cell lines from aborted babies and research for this vaccine and those that are not. Lifeissues.org. We're going to take a quick break and come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. The numbers, write them down whenever you hear somebody hang up. That's your opportunity to call 800-733-9829. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Judy Mikovich. She's the author of yet another book. This one, The Case Against Masks, 10 Reasons That Wearing a Mask Should Be Limited. She goes into the scientific detail about, well, what happens when you wear a mask and breathe in your own breath. What happens when you wear a mask? Are you really stopping the spread of the coronavirus? Well, as one doctor has said, putting up a chain link fence and thinking you're stopping mosquitoes is crazy. But it's the same thing with the mask. The virus is so small and the pores in the average mask are so big. So what's really going on here? Is it just fake science or is this about control? Is this the social sciences of group consensus to destroy individuality, to condition the people to go along with whatever the government tells them to do? Isn't it time the American people start asking tough questions? Maybe they should read The Case Against Masks by Dr. Judy Mikovich.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Thank you for listening today. Yeah, indeed, what is the role of the church? Are we not to be about proclaiming the Word of God, providing the message of salvation, to be salt and to be light? By the way, President Trump just issued a rule protecting Americans from funding abortions under Obamacare. That was just struck down by a judge, blocked by a judge. And then also, let me just mention this before I take my next call. This is a University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point on focus.news, where they are offering virtual wizardry world camp for children. On Focus, explore the magical world of wizarding August 10th through the 14th, 2020, 9 to noon through UW-Stevens Point. Students in grades 4 through 9 can immerse themselves in a wizarding learning portal for the week with spellcasting, wand making, trivia, book discussions, and more. In this one-week virtual experience, participants will find their house and create a house crest. Participants will also discover the wand that fits their wizard style and use their wand in spell casting class. We have Alice calling from Tennessee. You're on the air, Alice.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I just have so many scriptures in my mind. First of all, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in the earth, beholding the evil and the good.
Yeah.
And God has said that God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, and can I say whether he attends a church or doesn't attend a church, he will reap what he sows. And also, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. God sees all the shedding of innocent blood.
Yeah. Thank you, Alice. Thank you for sharing those scriptures. Ellie in North Fond du Lac, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Jim. I believe that this is the last generation, and we are at the doors of the second coming. And that being said, I'd like to read two verses from Mark 13, verses 19 and 20. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. Thank you again.
God
bless everyone.
Thank you, Ellie. Daniel in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Wow. Okay. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm kind of staticky here.
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
Okay. I'm thinking that this is for people that need it. What's going on right now is this proof of what was said in Revelations. I'm a pre-tribulation rapture believer. A lot of people have been saying, well, we're in a tribulation. No, I don't believe we are, because the tribulation is going to make this look like a Girl Scout cookout. It's going to be much worse than what's going on right now. So we can see the way people act. They don't want to listen to the truth. They're willing to follow just about anybody. Good for bad, bad for good. How one little virus driven by greed shuts down practically the whole world.
Yeah.
So here's the proof. If anybody doubts it, they read it and doubt it, well, hey, take a look around you.
Thank
some
you.
Of these things, you know, happened in the past, but here they all are at once. So thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate your call here today as well. Yeah, we learn about the deceiver, the Antichrist, the one who is known as Antichrist. The Bible also refers him to the lawless one. The lawless one? Folks, we're getting a taste of what lawlessness is all about. Think about a world leader, an international leader, known as the lawless one. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I'm reminded of the verse in the Bible, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I believe the next 6 to 18 months are going to be the biggest decisions we've made in our lives as Christians concerning the vaccine and other decisions. And I believe we may be under judgment, and that's what we're experiencing now. And like you said, it's up to the church how deep it gets and how bad it gets. But decision time is coming, and appreciate all you do, Jim. Yeah,
thank you for your call. Michelle in Washington, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I want to talk about the Eastern religion thing going on. and there is actually a college that's part of my denomination, and they are actually teaching meditation classes and things like that, and the teachers have actually gone to meditation like camps and things like that. Okay. Well, I forgot to mention too that this school actually is a seminary for pastors. So our young people are going there to learn to be pastors, and they have to they are required to read certain books by all these Eastern religion kind of people.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate your sharing that. I'm going to rush because we have just a couple minutes left. Conneaut, Ohio. Elaine, you're on the air.
Hi, sir. Thank you. I believe that with this vaccine, the churches giving them out on their premises, I believe the churches will be held accountable for being used as Satan's right hand in that matter. And then also, I have a question. You said that the vaccines were done are being used with the fetuses of aborted babies. Also, I had heard on a blog...
Well, what is your question?
The question is that on the blog, they said that they are also using a black woman's cells that were frozen years ago.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's getting very detailed. I would suggest you go to lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org, that had the documentation on the aborted cell lines, and Brad Mattis just did a program with us here just recently on that very issue. I've got to run, got to squeeze one last call in. Tom in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe the good news. Yeah. Mark 1, hurry.
Yeah, amen, amen. Thank you, Tom. Indeed, we need to repent and turn to the Savior. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Folks, the time in which we live is not fun and games. We need to wake up to the times in which we live. And as Adrian Rogers once said, the alarm clock has gone off. It's no time to hit the snooze button. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.